Lord, we thank you for our scripture readings today, and we just want to take a few moments in silence and ask the Holy Spirit to let them take root in our hearts that we might grow in our love for you and our love for one another. We praise you, Lord, for the gift of our vocations. We're all called to serve you in a unique and beautiful way, some through the gift of marriage, some through priesthood, religious life, some maybe never getting married but living a single life. At any rate, we believe that you will provide exceedingly and abundantly for us in each of our states of life. And so today, in light of our scripture readings, we just ask for a greater trust and confidence in you. And if we're having any problems in our vocation, just remind us that we, through the greatness of your love, have access to your house. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. So today, obviously, I'm going to talk a little bit about the importance of marriage, as the scripture readings talk about that. And the church has been very clear throughout the ages about the importance of marriage, and that, you know, this is a foundational thing that the Lord has given to us. And Jesus is telling them that, you know, it's through the hardness of your hearts that God allowed Moses to deliver the decree on divorce. And this is obviously a very painful topic, because obviously many people have gone through the pain of a divorce and so forth. So I'm just praying for the Holy Spirit to help me offer you words of encouragement, because I think this is all about discernment and confidence in the mercy of God, that even if we make a mistake and we don't discern properly, we're not condemned. God has a wonderful plan of life for us. Jeremiah 29:11. For I alone know the plans I have for you, plans to bring about the future you hope for. When you seek me with your heart, you will find me. You will call to me and I will answer you, because you seek me with your heart. And so sometimes, you know, people grow up and they don't understand maybe the gospel. They just run through the sacraments and they kind of discern improperly what God is asking of them. That should never be the cause of despair and discouragement. We can always go back and retrace our steps and say, Lord, help me to recover and help me to better be able to understand and seek your will in my own life as a follower of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. But marriage is set forth as an example of soulmates, that it was not good for the man to be alone, so we're not supposed to be alone. And even as a priest, you know, some people think, well, like Grandma asked in the car, Grandma, I think I'm being called to become a Catholic priest. And she turns around and goes, I can't think of a more miserable life. Huh? Obviously, what I'm doing is not for everyone. I wouldn't be here if it was for everyone, obviously. But it's the particular vocation that God has called me to live. But I need the love and support of other people. I just spent a week with my dad. It was wonderful in the Grand Teton Mountains in Wyoming. The splendor of God's creation is absolutely incredible. The trees, the colors. And then we heard elk bugling one morning and chasing each other. And I saw three moose the last day I was there. And they had frost on their back. And I had frost on my ears because I forgot my hat and I forgot my sweatshirt that morning in the excitement of getting ready to go early in the morning and everything. But it was a wonderful opportunity to have time with my father, and I had some time with my mom too, because I went home a day early and then I left a day later and we came back on Thursday night. And so, you know, we all need love and support and fellowship with other believers, but marriage is a very special union that God has created, where the husband and wife help each other get to the finish line. They're soulmates. And you don't run ahead of your soulmate and say, I got here first, you didn't get here first. You walk with them, right? So that's the ideal that God has set forward, is that the husband and wife love each other, and a children is brought into the world through his grace, and his best, his love is revealed through a father and a wife or a mother, and they grow up in a loving environment. But we recognize that that's not always the case, because we're broken and we're sinners. And so a lot of people grow up perhaps in broken and abusive environments. And so when people come to get married, you know, we have a premarital inventory. It's called 29-1. And it sounds like the IRS, doesn't it? I don't know why they call it 29-1, 29-2. Like, what? But it basically asks them that the whole foundation of marriage is, and I ask this question when they first come to do their vows. So I stand in the back and show my best side, my backside, and want everyone to see the couple. And I say, the first question I ask them is, have you come here freely and without reservation to give yourself to each other in marriage? And they'll be like, huh? No. And they say, I do, yes. What? So they have to say yes. No one is forcing us to enter into this marriage. We have been prepared and we understand that marriage is effective, the sacrament of marriage, when we give ourselves freely to each other without reservation. So if there's some kind of an impediment, like, you know, the person has a psychological disease or something, then they're not free to give themselves to each other in marriage. And so we have the annulment process that honors the teaching that Jesus gave today that says, well, maybe you didn't really understand what you were doing. That happens sometimes. I mean, we all go through that and so forth. But it's all based on freedom. And then in the 29:1, is anyone coercing you or forcing you to enter into this marriage? And I ask them that question, or the person who interviews them, and they have to say, no. You know, nobody's forcing me. I'm giving myself freely to this other person and trusting in God that he's going to provide and that the two become one, like Jesus said in the reading today. But because of the reality of our world today and kind of a crisis of faith and sacramentalized Catholics but not evangelized Catholics, sometimes people don't have that freedom. And so if they do wind up, you know, going through the process of a divorce and the church asks them the question, well, what happened and what was your model of marriage? And so one of the questions in the annulment process, which basically says that the sacrament was unaffected, is what was the model you saw in your own parents? Did you have a loving mom and dad who respected each other and didn't put each other down and were competing against each other? And a lot of times the answer is no, my dad was really abusive to my mom, or they didn't connect very well, or so forth. So it's not such a simple thing that, you know, everything just flip a switch and everything works well. We have to cooperate with God's grace, and sometimes people are wounded and hurt, and they kind of do the best they can, but they end into something and they didn't really understand it. So the one thing I want to emphasize as I share this message is there's always healing. You know, we all make mistakes. I'm a priest. I have to go to confession lots, especially after visits with my family. We all have access to the grace of God and the mercy of God, and sometimes people go in with the best of intentions, but there were things that were holding them back, and they weren't able to really freely give themselves to each other. And the saddest thing I've witnessed over the last 24 years as a Catholic priest is people who did go through the pain of divorce, and many have said it's like a death. I mean, I've had people tell me it's like a death. You know, I went in here with the best of intentions, and then things just didn't work out. And then to be judged by other people in the church and ostracized, and I've met a lot of people who instead of extending a hand of mercy and healing and allowing this to be an opportunity for growth and more dependence on the Lord, they were judged and they left. They just thought, you know, I can't believe that, you know, I'm going through this painful event in my life, and instead of people being supportive and trying to help me find healing in Jesus, they just judged me and condemned me, and they left the Catholic Church. Isn't that a tragedy? That's not what we're supposed to be doing. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoldering wick he will not squelch. And so we have to extend mercy and healing. And I'm so happy as a priest to discover that we do have ministries within the church, one called Beginning Experience, where people go on a weekend retreat who are divorced or widowed. And it's all focused on inviting the Holy Spirit to bring healing into their life so they can start over again, Beginning Experience. I did that when I was really young and had black hair. I haven't been involved since my first parish, but when I would join those retreats in Lacey, I was always happy that we had that we could offer something to help people who are hurting and not turn them away. But there's still kind of that attitude in some places, and so we need to ask the Lord to help us get rid of that. We don't have to put other people down and ostracize them in order to show that we value the gift and the sacrament of marriage. Amen? Amen. And then we recognize, too, that, and I've said this before, the enemy has two strategies. He attacks marriage and family, because children need to grow up in a loving environment where the parents reveal the love of God, mom and dad, to their children. And so from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, he pitted Eve and Adam against each other. God told you that? You can't trust God. And he's doing that today very much. You know, you can be self-sufficient. You don't need to rely on God. What would have happened if Adam and Eve, after Satan introduced his horrible plan to turn away from God and eat the tree, from the tree of life, the fruit from the tree of life, and they said, wait a minute, God told us not to do that. We need to go have a conversation with him because he told us not to do that. Instead, they just fell for it and didn't trust that God knew what was best for us. He's our creator. And they just went along with it. And look at how everything unraveled. Cain and Abel, and then Adam blames Eve. The woman you gave me, it's her fault. She gave me the fruit. Instead of taking any responsibility for his own actions, I chose to eat it. And we just see how everything unravels. So today in our world today, the enemy is attacking marriage and family, and he's doing a heck of a job, trust me, you know, where people are confused and hurt, and instead of seeking the healing of the Lord, they just lash out and hurt other people because they're not getting that healing that they need. So we recognize the destructive work of the enemy, and that we have to grow in maturity as disciples and allow the Lord to heal our wounds. Otherwise, you just pass them on. I said that a few weeks ago. If you don't get healed, you just pass them on to your children and to other people. So the Lord is offering his healing. And I want to share with you a wonderful movie called The Heart of Man. When I went on that priest retreat 4 years ago, Dr. Bob Schuch showed this movie. Actually, I missed it because I did spend the night. I was doing the economy package where I would drive back to the rectory and I'd have to spend money on lodging. But he showed a movie after I left, and so I went and bought it and saw it. It's called The Heart of Man. And there's one scene in that movie that always, even to this day, I've watched it many times and shared it with people. I still get choked up when I watch it. But there's this young man who's a Christian, and he was doing a conference, a men's conference, and he was being very condescending to the men. You know, come on, why are you doing this when Jesus wants to do so many good things? And he was actually struggling with an addiction to pornography. But instead of dealing with it, he was just condemning these other people and saying, why are you struggling with this? And so that night he went back and had a fallout, and it was just awful. And he said, the next morning I woke up and I thought maybe I should go to the Lord for prayer, but all I expected was condemnation for what I did the night before. And instead he had this vision. And so he was in prison, and he had his prison uniform on with the stripes and everything and the shackles or the handcuffs and everything. He was going through line to get his lunch. And so he got his lunch and he wanted to sit with people at a table, but no one would let them sit with him. No, you can't sit here, you can't sit here. What is that called? Shame, right? The enemy was shaming him. So all of a sudden he sits at the table by himself, and all of a sudden in walks the Lord in a prison suit like him, in a prison suit like him. And he says, hey, will you sit with me? And the Lord says, I'll always have dinner with you. I'll always dine with you. But if you want out of here, there's the door. And he just cried and thought, wow, that in the midst of this difficult thing that I'm struggling with, he didn't come in to condemn him, but said, I want to help you out of this. And I get choked up when I watch it, because that is the nature of God. He's here to help us. He wants to heal us. So if you have brokenness in your marriage or whatever vocation, if you're a priest and you're broken, don't let the enemy lie to you and shame you. Psalm 5, I, through the greatness of your love, have access to your house. Our brokenness doesn't repel the Lord, it attracts him. He's drawn to that. He came to save us from sin and the destructive works of the devil who lies to us constantly. And yet we see people not believing that or not understanding that or haven't experienced that. And so they just wander off further and further away. We've got to get back to that truth that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, not to condemn it, but to save it. That's the gospel news. That's good news. Amen. A lot of people are struggling with stuff in their life right now, loneliness, addictions. And we need to be a church that says, God is here to help you. He loves you. He sent his son to die for you and to rise to new life and give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. Do not buy into the lies of the enemy. So I've been doing a lot of renunciation with people. I renounce the lie. I renounce the lie of shame, of guilt, or whatever. And this is what we need to do in order to recover the beauty and sacrament of matrimony, is that many people have been lied to. Many people haven't connected with the Lord, so they're just kind of relying on themselves and their own goodness and what they have. And we need to be less self-sufficient, more reliant on God and his grace. And the invitation he's giving us today to experience renovation. But our world seems to be not interested in that message, so it starts with us. You know, Lord, I'm sorry for being self-reliant. I'm broken. I need your healing. Help me to be a credible witness to your mercy and love and the healing power of the Holy Spirit to other people. The only way that can happen is when I turn and look at myself and say, I need to start with me first. Amen? So that's why we need a marriage preparation. The greatest gift you can give your spouse is you stay close to the Lord. You recognize that your deepest identity is you're a child of God. And don't make an idol out of people, but share what you have and respect and honor the other person. But make sure you have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Otherwise, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. We just see the fruits of that destructive reality all around us. So we want to pray now, Lord, that you would just heal us and bring us closer to you and allow us to experience your healing power. And if anybody in this church has gone through a divorce or been hurt or traumatized in any way, we just invite you to heal us, to heal all of us of any wounds that we have, and to bring us into restoration through you and the blood of your cross to your Heavenly Father, and give us the gift of the Holy Spirit that we may walk in confidence that we are children of God. See what love the Father has for us, that we are called children of God. And so we are. Amen.